but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Oregon State, Washington State, Saturday, Racer Stadium. Should be a good one. Who's going to play quarterback? Who's going to start at quarterback? You know what? Rob Aikie, the coach at Oregon State, should know that. I wonder when he joins us if he's going to be willing to go that far. Is he going to be willing to say it? Is he going to be willing to say the quiet part out loud, so to speak? We will know momentarily when he calls in. He has a choice between Malik Murphy and Jabari Johnson. Says he has informed the team of who's going to start, but we don't know that he's necessarily going to make that distinction on air. He has been difficult to get answers out of. Judah, should he tell? Should he tell Washington State who's starting at quarterback? Should he tell Beavers fans who's starting at quarterback? Or is there some advantage here to the mystery?
Well, I've definitely some advantage to the mystery. They're underdogs at home to the Cougs, if I'm remembering right the line so far. Yeah. So I'm not sure how much it matters either way, but you know, he's a head ball coach at heart. I'm sure disclosing things is not necessarily part of his DNA, but I'm guessing he'll keep it close to the vest. I'm not sure how much of a difference it would make either way, even though they're two different types of players.
I am. I think you got to play them both. I think you have to use the arm of Malik Murphy, but you need the legs of Jabari Johnson. And I probably would start Johnson given how he finished against Lafayette. I asked ChatGPT who Oregon State should start at quarterback. I said, you know, Oregon State is playing Washington State. They're 1-7, and you've got Jabari Johnson and Malik Murphy. Who would you start at quarterback? And ChatGPT didn't hesitate. Within a second, it gave me the answer of who should start at quarterback for Oregon State on Saturday. Rob Aikie, the interim coach, Oregon State is joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, John. How in the world are you doing?
I'm doing good. I asked ChatGPT who should start at quarterback, and it gave me the answer.
Well, good. Then you don't have to ask me. That's a good thing.
I was trying to bait you into saying, well, what did it say?
Nobody wanted to know. Nobody is asking me, hey, who's going to start at studbacker or three technique or any of that kind of stuff. I kind of felt bad for those guys.
I know. Who's your starting left corner this week? Let's just start there.
It's going to be the first guy that goes out there and plays.
All right. Hey, so give me an idea. How big of an advantage or disadvantage is it when you don't know the other team's starter at QB and you've got two guys that are very different in style?
Well, I don't know that it's I look at they've seen those guys both play for us, and they've seen both of their roles grow over time, and it's going to continue to be the case. I don't think it's yeah, I think they got to expect they're going to see both of them, and they're going to see what happens would be my guess. And we've dealt with it as the season's gone on. We've had, you know, different guys showed up and started at quarterback, and you kind of have an idea what guys do, and you have your plan for what you're going to do with that anyway. So I don't know that it's that big of a deal, but I don't know. It all depends on how they look at things, if that makes sense what I'm saying.
Yeah, it does. What do you see when you look at Washington State on film? And, you know, they've got a guy in Zevi Eckhouse, who's played well at times and gives him a little moxie.
He does. He's got, it seems like he's got a little swagger to him. I think they, you know, they've shown that they like him. He's been their guy, obviously, the last 5 weeks, and he was, you know, a good player, done good things before he went there. And I think that probably the the competitiveness in him and some things like that. You see him do good things and make decisions in ball games. You see why he's the guy I think that they're riding with now. I think he's a good player. They look like a good football team to me. They're playing hard and they're, you know, doing things. And, you know, there were, you know, part of you sitting there looking at it and thinking, well, you know, at the beginning of the season, they were struggling with, you know, they struggled, for example, with Idaho. But then 2 weeks ago, they're playing down to the wire with Ole Miss and Virginia. And they've, you know, so they're playing hard and they're competing. And they had, you know, a battle with Toledo last week. They weren't really threatened on the scoreboard as much, but it was, you know, they were in the game. It was a game for quite a while, even though they were a couple scores ahead, you know, the majority of the time. And but I watch the way they play, you know, what they're doing on offense, and those things are growing for them. You watch the way they play on defense. Those guys are playing hard. They work. It looks to me like they work hard to be physical. It's going to be a fun game.
I watched that Idaho Washington State game early on. It struck me that Washington State lost the line of scrimmage. Was it a personnel thing? Was it a strategy that you see changed, because their identity did shift in the subsequent weeks? But what did you see in that game at the point of attack?
Well, I think they've probably grown in a little more to who they are as time has gone on, if that makes sense. And you know, I think that's probably helped them with some of their issues at the line of scrimmage. And who knows, you know, it's the first game of the year. It's their first game with their staff. There could have been a number of issues, you know, falling into that in how you go about playing that first game. I'm assuming that some of those things probably factored into that a little bit.
And you've been on the other side of that thing. You know how big that game is for Idaho, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That was... it is a big game for them. There's, you know, they're the little brothers up there in the Palouse, so they want nothing more to, you know, be able to do something about that, because they got to live with it all year long, and they're only 8 miles apart. So those guys certainly got their best bet from them. There's no doubt about that.
Help us with a bigger picture thing, and I'm not, you know, and listeners may think I'm talking about a specific player, but I'm not. I'm just asking from a general term, like, how does revenue sharing, NIL, transfer portal. You got guys on a roster across the country that are making, you know, seven figures. And how does that factor as a coach when you go to play a guy? Do you have to account for what that player's being paid, or do you have to ignore that? How do you approach that?
Well, I think your job as a coach is you got to do what's necessary to play the best you can and to win. And certainly those factors go into, especially if, you know, you're the staff that's built it and done these things and you've been there for a period of time, then, you know, it's no different. Like you, for example, you be in the NFL and you've got situations, and at least that one, you know, in that league, it's structured and it makes sense what a guy makes when they're in the locker room, if that makes sense what I'm saying. There's, you know, things are slotted the way they're supposed to, and this guy may make that and this guy only makes this, but everybody understands why, and it fits and it works, and there's contracts, and it all makes sense, and it works that way. But you'll see teams that, you know, maybe they put a hell of a contract onto a guy and or drafted him in a certain spot, they're going to do everything they can, or that general manager is going to do everything he can to prove that that he was right, if that makes sense what I'm saying. And I think in the college world, we've got to do what we've got to do as college coaches to make those things work to what's going to be best on the field, and then he's going to have to sort those things out later if it's an issue or if it's not. But everybody's in a different boat in regards to how that works, and I think that's part of the issue that college football is dealing with right now, and it's going to see another big change before it can start to get to what's going to be somewhat normal. But there's some things that are pretty, you know, out of whack right now, if you ask me.
Yeah, and I think the bigger deal might be, you know, what I've noticed in talking with, you know, a number of coaches on this show in the last 2-3 years is that coaches are hesitant, especially in fall camp or in spring ball, to single out a player and say, hey, this guy looks really good, because they don't want that message to get back into that position room and somebody in that position room gets in the portal. And so I hear the coaches going, oh, I love the whole room. I love everybody in that room. Or they'll mention everybody at that position group. Is that a bigger factor where you just kind of got to worry about keeping people happy, or do you?
Well, I look at it this way, and I think that I think if you go about it that way, you're creating yourself an issue, and you're not doing a service to the kids, and you're not doing a service to your program, and your name really isn't Coach if that's the way that you're really going about it. Because, you know, it's up to us to help them grow, to help them learn, to help them be who it is that they're going to be. And they've got to be told when it's good, and they've got to be told when it's not good, and why and how they can fix it. You don't need to rip a dude's tail. You got to show him what he's got to do better to make it be right so that it works for him. And I think that that's coaching, and that's teaching, and that's growing, and that's how you be, you know, the role that we're supposed to be playing. Because I have seen what you're talking about, and it amazes me that you have a grown man look a young guy in the eye and sit there and tell the guy what he wants to hear instead of what he needs to hear so he can be the best. And you're not helping your own team when you do that, and you're certainly not helping that kid. You're not helping him learn how to grow up and things like that. And so, I mean, to me, you be honest with him. And you say, you look him in the eye and say, listen, guys, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to coach you. I'm going to coach you hard. I'm going to coach you honest. And I'm going to jump on your back. And you're going to feel that when you make a great play, I'll be there high-fiving you. And we're going to hoot and we're hollering. We're going to celebrate. And when it's something that maybe wasn't good, I may be just as loud. But I'm going to be telling you, hey, if you lock your arm out here and you get your eyes over here, that's how you can fix what just happened to you. And show them, you know, give them the answer as opposed to beating them again. And then you're teaching them and you're growing them, and you're making sure that the competitiveness things work, and you're showing them how the real world is going to work for them also. You know, our game is a competitive game, and it needs to be that way. And our world is too. And that's the beautiful thing about college football, because for the 98% of dudes that aren't going to go get to play pro football, they've got to win in life. And so you're giving them the tools and learning how to compete and deal with adversity and pull themselves up. And now that's the way I look at it. But yes, that does happen. I've seen it happen. And I don't think that that's the way that you help kids be any better. No.
What did your parents do for work?
They were teachers.
Two teachers. So what did you, like, what would you be doing? Would you be a teacher if you weren't a football coach? I guess a football coach is a teacher in a different way.
Well, I think that's what we are, yeah. So that's what I'm doing. And probably if I couldn't coach, I'd probably be a country western singer somewhere along the way. But that might not work out so well. So it's a good thing this football coaching has been able to be a thing for me for a long period of time. And it is teaching.
Is that the enjoyable part, or are the games the enjoyable part, or is it in practice? Where does Rob Akey sort of get the, you know, man, that's the moment where that's what I'm in it for?
The best part of my day every day is when we're around the players. It doesn't matter if it's the meetings that we start with or when we get out to practice. That's by far the best part of my day. You know, and then we get everything put together for the next day, and then when we get to be around the players, that's awesome. And you love game day because that's competitive and that's what you do. And but that's in regards to the day-to-day life, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's by far the best time of every day that I have. And then what's cool is when, these guys have gone on and you get a text or a phone call or a letter or an invite or something, you know, to help a guy get a job somewhere, let you know that, hey, coach, just want to let you know, hey, you got a new grandson today. He was born, whatever. You know, they're letting you know what's going on in their lives, and you're being a part of that. And that's that stuff's all really cool. But in the day-to-day, it's when we get to be around these players. That's what makes it by far the best.
Rob Akey, interim head coach, Oregon State football, is with us. All right, here's what I think is going to happen. I think you're going to play both guys. I don't even know if it matters who starts, but I think you need Malik Murphy's arm in there. I think you need the energy and the threat in the run game that Jabari can bring. Am I talking nonsense here? I'm not trying to keep both guys engaged, but I think you need both guys engaged.
I think those guys have both have that spot. I think you're right, and I think you've seen that grow, and we've got to continue for it to grow. And it grew enough. If you watched the last game, it was uncomfortable. For example, at halftime, there was things were close. And that's what we were able to talk about at halftime. Hey, this and this and this happened, and this and this and this kept things from happening. So we pointed out how to make it be right and stressed some of those things. And we went out, and I think what you saw as the game went on, I saw guys starting to play a little more free. They maybe didn't have the weight of, you know, the seven losses hanging over their shoulders. They were starting to play free because it's subliminal. It gets in their heads a little bit anyways. They don't, you know, they're trying not to make a mistake, and you can't do that. You got to go out and play and do your job. And then – as they started to have a little success, a guy or two makes a couple plays here and there, then they start feeling a little more comfortable, make a few more plays, and then we started to look like we were supposed to look by the time the game got over. Well, that was that day, and that was great, and that was good because those guys all got to smile again. Now, we get the next opportunity this weekend, and we've had to take each day piece by piece by piece to help grow that. And now we're going to have a better opponent coming in here, and we've got ourselves in a better way that we need to go out and be able to compete one play at a time. Don't worry about how good or maybe not good the last play was. This play has all my attention, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and then I'll deal with the next one when it gets here. And I think we can grow that way, and I think that helps. And if we build off what they know and we can grow things from there, I think that gives us the best opportunity with the scenario that we're in. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It makes total sense. And you're going to kick this game off on November 1st, Saturday at 4:30. It'll be like 3 weeks since your guys lost a game. I mean, they'll have forgotten how to lose a game. All they will know
is the way you're thinking.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all they know is how to win. That hasn't happened. That's 3 weeks ago. I can't remember what I had for breakfast 3 weeks ago. So, Rob Akey, I appreciate you. Thanks for giving us your time.
Hey, you got it. Appreciate you having me on. Look forward to the next time, and go Beavs. We'll see y'all this weekend.
All right. There he goes. A ball of energy. Am I right? I think Jabari Johnson starts, takes the first snap of the game. I think Malik Murphy plays multiple series in this game. Judah, you have a prediction for what they do at quarterback?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be Jabari first, and Malik, though, comes in. I don't know at what point in the game does he come in. Maybe they let the game flow kind of dictate that a little bit. But look, this is on CBS. You know, there's nowhere to hide. I think CBS is probably not thrilled that they agreed to carry a couple of Pac-12 games on the big CBS this year, given how Oregon State...
It's supposed to be a big game. This is supposed to be like, ooh, this will be the conference championship. And instead, it's 1-7 against... You know, it's a Washington State team has played really well, but it doesn't have the luster that, at the beginning of the year. And here's the thing. We're going to see this matchup twice. We're going to see it home and home. And so, CBS probably happy it got the first one, because everyone's going to be like, I've seen that game already. What do I want to see that game?
What do they got? They got Indiana, Maryland at 12:30 on CBS. They'll just be hammering the promos for stick around for Wazoo, Oregon State after this at 4:30. That being said, boy, you can't get any bigger of a second win than to beat your Pac-12 rivals on CBS this Saturday. That's how you got to look at it. You only have one win, but there is no sweeter second win than the one that you could get as an underdog to win at home against your Pac-12 rival on national TV. That's how you got to sell it. That's how you got to go for it.
Oregon State coming off a 45-13 win over Lafayette. Washington State coming off a big win over Toledo, and then consecutive losses, really good losses, rather, against Virginia and Mississippi. Game's 4:30 on Saturday. Stick around. Our big splash coming up.